So this morning we've been talking about this series that we're going through. We're going to continue on this series. We've been talking about fear not. Can you say that word after me? Say fear. Say it out loud. Fear not. Say it with some conviction. Fear not. Amen. Is there any scriptures in the Bible that God has spoken to us plainly concerning fear? And we've been looking through, the answer to that is yes, and we've been looking through the Bible, and we're going to continue in this series on fear not. And our text is out of the book of Luke. We're looking at the Christmas story, being that the season that we're in, and so this series is going to go to about December 22nd, amen, in case you're wondering. And if you're wondering, well, how can I hear the last message, you can go on www.destinychurchwnc.com. And you can get on our website, and our teaching and stuff is now being posted online. So you can get the last message from last week online. It is up there, and you can hear that. But we've been talking about fear not. Last week, who was here last week? Amen. You got a word last week called fear of intimacy. We talked about intimacy, that God wants to what? He wants to be intimate with you. Amen. And not just intimate with you. He wants to be intimate with you. And he wants you to be intimate with others. How many of you know that your life filled with God's love, come on, and his life and his nature, that you can go out into your generation and make an impact, come on, everywhere you go, whether using words or no words at all. How many of you know when you show up to a situation, to a family reunion, and you've been intimate with God, how many of you know there's just going to be some folks around that are just going to observe that over time, that this is a person who is patient. This is a person who's growing spiritually. This is a person who is listening to God. How many of you know if you're growing spiritually, come on, you're taking that time to get into the secret place. Anybody remember Psalm 91? He that what? Dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. How many of you know that secret place could be in your truck, in your car, you could be listening to the radio, you could be going down the road. Come on, it doesn't necessarily have to, intimacy and time with God doesn't have to be in a church building. Can I get an amen to that? It could be right there washing dishes in your own home, amen. Come on, when there's calamity or stress or things going on in life, how many of you know that's a good time just to go and start practicing fear not, come on. And I'm going to press in, and remember the door that we had up last week? We're going to walk through the door. Amen. We're not going to knock on it. How many of you know you can walk up to the door? You can knock on it. How many of you know, but you can never enter in? You can stand right in front of the door. Amen. So being intimate with God, it's not just knowing about him. It's not just having, come on, knowledge of how good he is, but it's having the experiential side of God. Amen. Not just knowing something, but experiencing God intimately. And again, when you come out of that place, how many of you know you're growing spiritually? Come on. You're growing out of infancy, and you're growing into an adult. You're moving with God. Come on. Some things are falling off of us. Amen. How many of you know in life, there's some things in my life that needed to fall off of me? And how many of you know fear was something, because we live in this world, how many of you know there's fear in this world? Amen. How many of you know there's fear that entered in through the fall, through Adam and Eve's disobedience to God? Sin entered in, and then right there came what? Fear. And the Bible says that God did not give us a what? A spirit of fear, but of power, come on, love, and a sound mind. So one of the greatest challenges we all face in our lives is the fear to follow God's will, his plan, and his purpose in our lives. Come on, his will, his plan, and his purpose in our lives. Can you have knowledge of God's will for your life? Yes, you can. Can you even have, because you've been intimate with God, you're spending time with God, can you even have knowledge of his plan and even purpose? Amen. You have purpose. But how many of you know fear can be a hindrance from you fully walking out in your life? Amen. All the plan that God has for you. See, many people think that becoming a Christian is like the Wizard of Oz. Anybody remember the Wizard of Oz? Come on, is anybody, feedback. Does anybody remember the Wizard of Oz? You remember that? You remember that? Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road. You remember the little, what do you call those little guys? The little elves or whatever they were. Follow the yellow brick road. But you remember singing, them singing. And how many of you know that life is not always, come on, God's plan will shift. Come on, he'll change directions on you. He'll show you things and that are coming. There's a plan. There's a purpose. God has a plan for your life, and it's a good plan. Amen. It's a good purpose. It's a what? It's a good will. It's, his will is good. His plan is good. Amen. So today, again, we're talking about fear not. So life may not always be like the Wizard of Oz, where you're just on the yellow brick road. Amen. And you just follow that thing to the end. No, there may be some things that might just get in the way to try to derail you. And that thing is called fear. Amen. And how many of you know that could derail you off that yellow brick road? But there are times in our life that the Holy Spirit begins to move us. He begins to change us. He begins to lead us. He begins to transform us. And he leads us from where we are. And what is the whole goal? The whole goal is in this series, in this particular part today, is fear not. And that is fear not to follow. Amen. Fear to follow. That's what we're talking about today. Amen. I'm not going to fear God. I'm not going to fear the plan. I'm not going to fear his will. Come on. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to allow him to change me. I'm going to allow him to lead me. Come on. We are his children. And how many of you know he's a good father? And the Holy Spirit, come on, he's good. And he wants to show you the plan. Of. You say, well, I have the plan and I'm executing it right now. But that's good. But how many of you know there's more to the plan? How many of you know that plan can shift and change? How many of you know you can go into your plan, come on, that started out as God's plan, and it moved into your plan, and then you start putting your hands upon it, and then it starts moving, come on, in a direction that God never designed it to move because we're a little bit afraid, because we just don't know if I relocate or if I invest in that or if I buy that or if I date this person, how's it going to turn out? Come on, do you hear what I'm saying? And so I think one of the most amazing themes and lessons we can learn from those involved in the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2 is that overcoming the fear to trust and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Let me say it again. I think one of the most amazing themes and lessons we can learn from those involved in Luke chapter 2 is overcoming fear. Come on, the fear to trust and the leading of the Holy Spirit. How many of you know those two things work together, that when God speaks to us, we hear him and then we follow? But how many of you know that fear or obstacles or things can show up and present itself to you, and then you have a choice? But the thing about we need to know is, what are we going back to? We're going back to what God's plan is, what his will is, and his purpose is for our lives. And how many of you know, again, let me say it again, it's continually unfolding. Amen. How many know, well, God will give you things. Some of you have received things prophetically, maybe through dreams. How many go, God speaks through dreams? He speaks through visions. Some of you may have been prophesied over. How many know when that prophecy is spoken? How many know that's spoken in part? Amen. And then you get a piece of the plan that God reveals some things to you. Amen. Revelation comes to you and you're like, okay, God, I got some of that. Amen. But the whole goal here is not to, even though God may shift and he may change and he may move you in a direction, come on, but we are to not allow, come on, fear. Come on, the fear of the unknown, the fear of, let me just answer and say it like this. How are we going to do this? Does anybody relate? Like, God, I hear you, but how are we going to do this? Amen. And so we're going to look at Zechariah in Luke chapter 1. If you got your Bibles or your Bible apps, let's turn over to Luke chapter 1, 5 through 25. We're going to read, if you open your Bibles, we're going to read Zechariah, about Zechariah and Elizabeth. And you say, well, Pastor, where are we going with this? We're talking about fear not, and we're talking about fear to follow. Amen. So Zechariah, we're going to read here, and Elizabeth was old in age. And how many of you know God gave them what? A baby. And how many of you know that baby was who? It was John. And you know that tradition and custom is to name your son after what? The family, after the father. And so the angel Gabriel gave a very specific instruction, right? So he's showing and revealing what? He's going to show us when we read this text of scripture, through Zechariah and this Christmas story and Elizabeth and Mary and Joseph and Luke 1 and 2, we're going to see that, number one, that there is a promise that I'm going to give you a baby. But also, we're going to see that there was not only a promise, but there was a plan. So a lot of us grab a hold of the promise, and we're like, woohoo, we got something from God. But how many of you know there's a plan? God wants to execute his plan in your life. Amen. And so, again, in verse 5, it says this, in the time of Herod, the king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division. And his wife, Elizabeth, was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was what? Barren, and they were well both along in their years. Verse 8 says, once Zechariah's division was on duty, and he was serving as priest before God. In verse 9, it says, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all of the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Here we go, verse 11. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him. So here is an encounter, come on, with God right here. The same way that you and I have encounters with God every single day. Come on, amen. And so here's the encounter right here. And the Lord appeared to him, standing at the side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, do what? Do not be afraid. Fear not. Zechariah, he said, your prayer has been heard. Your prayer has been heard. And so here again is the promise, and here is the plan. He said, your wife, Elizabeth, will what? Bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John, and he will be a joy and a delight to you. And many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled, listen, with the Holy Spirit, even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit, listen, in the spirit and in the power of Elijah. Does anybody remember Elijah the prophet? Amen. That's a powerful statement right there. So is God, through an angel, Gabriel, showing, come on, Zechariah, here's the promise, but here's also the plan. Amen. So he said, to turn hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And so here's some questions that just might be answered by God right here from Zechariah. We see right here, Zechariah says in verse 18, he asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? How can I be sure of this? Do you think Zechariah didn't have any questions here? He's kind of thinking, how? Come on, think about this. How is this thing going to happen? And does this sound a lot like Abraham and Sarah? Were they both old in age? Was Sarah's womb barren? But when you read the book of Hebrews, and I believe it's 11, the chapter 11, and it talks about all through the Bible how God gave Sarah strength to conceive seed. Amen. So what do you see getting ready to happen? You're getting ready to see the same thing happen. God said, here's the plan. Here's a baby coming. His name's going to be John. We're going to read about that. And he said, here's a plan. Here's a purpose. Fear not, Zechariah. So even though he had the question, how can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years. So there's some age here, folks. And then what happened? The angel said, what did he say? I am Gabriel. And Gabriel was the highest ranking angel in heaven along with Michael. How many of you know that the Bible talks of Michael and Gabriel? Amen. And so he said, I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you what? This good news. Grab this point right here, verse 20. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at what? Their proper time. How many times have God has spoken things to us? Amen. He's revealed his plan to us. He shows us the promise and is, come on, in their proper time. Amen. Sometimes we can't get a hold of God's plan and make, you know, I'll say it like this. You can't start making things happen for God. You got to let him reveal it to you. You need to listen to what he tells you to do. We need to receive the promises. And then we need to, come on, you get so excited. Does anybody else just get excited when you hear from heaven in prayer or you're reading the word and God reveals things to you? And it is exciting. But how many know there's another piece? Amen. There's another piece. There's more provision. There's more to know. Amen. So we need to stick in there with God and not leave, come on, that place of intimacy. Come on. Amen. We need to kick fear to the curb. See, many of us talk ourselves out with doubt, like Zechariah. Zechariah was like, how is this thing going to happen? Let me say it again. Many of us talk ourselves out with doubt. What do you mean? Talk out of his will, his plan, his purpose for our lives. Amen. See, there's no way this can work. Has anybody ever thought that before? There's no way. Come on. There's no way this could work. Or you say, you know, I'm probably having a dream right now. This was Zechariah. Like, I'm probably having a dream right now. This can't be real. Or why? Come on. You ever why would God do this? Come on, for me. You ever thought about that? Why would God do this for me? And we know that God is good and he is faithful. Amen. Does anybody remember Joshua and Jericho? What are we talking about? Many of us talk ourselves out with doubt. Zechariah had some questions. How is this going to happen? How? And how many of you know right there, fear can step in. Doubt can step in. What do we need to do? We need to fear not. We need to go back to last week's message and step through the door and get intimate with God and find out the rest of what he wants us to do. There's another piece to the plan. Amen. There's no need to shift. How many of you know fear will make you shift and get off the road? Come on, the yellow brick road, and it'll take you to a place where it moves you into doubt, and then it begins to move you into unbelief, and then it begins to move you into questioning the plan of God, even though you know this is what God has said to you. Come on, but you got some age on you like Zechariah, and your wife's barren, amen, and she can't produce a child, and here an angel shows up and says, I have a plan. Come on, and there is a purpose. How many of you know when you look ahead to the life of John, what did John say? Come on, he was gone to sent forth to prepare the way for who? The Son of God. And he was baptizing many into the water, into the river. And then Jesus appeared. And he said, there he is. There he is. And he said, his sandals, I'm not even worthy to touch or untie. And Jesus spoke to John. Do you remember this? And he said, why? Because there was the plan. Jesus was not letting the fear of man or the fear of whatever, come on, doubt and unbelief, to keep the plan and the vision and the will of God from happening. John says, I'm not worthy to even loose and touch your sandals. Jesus said, this must, do you remember this? He said, what we must do, what is what we must do. This must be so. In other words, you must baptize me because this is how the plan is and this is how it's supposed to work. Amen. How many know God knows it all, man? And so you're getting a part of the plan and the puzzle. The biggest thing we need to do is not be like Zechariah. You may have moments of doubt. Listen, you may have those moments where you're like Zechariah. I do have some questions. I'm a little barren here. How are we going to have this kid? But see, when God puts his super on your natural, see, a lot of times we get to live in this life of Christianity and we think it's all us making this thing happen. We don't realize, or maybe you do realize, that there's a supernatural being at work every day of your life. And the Bible says that Jesus, come on, is sitting at the right hand of God every day making intercession for the saints. He is praying for you. He's pulling for you. You got somebody that's believing, not just the pastor and a church praying for you. You have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords at the right hand of the Father, come on, every day making intercession for his people. He's wanting to reveal things to you, show you things. Why? Because he wants to eradicate and remove the fear. And the Bible says that what? The perfect love, the love of God, casts out all fear. So you may have questions, and that's okay, but walk through the door of intimacy. Walk through that door and spend time with prayer and God. Don't allow fear, Satan, his words, his thoughts, ideas, and suggestions to get you into that place of staying in constant doubt to where you walk off the road and you keep walking, you change directions. Come on, when you're on GPS and there's an accident, the GPS will reroute you. Well, you have the Holy Spirit. Things in life may happen. And there you may go through a season where you're really questioning God and is this God? It's okay. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. He will not leave you. He will not walk away from you. He is there to help you through the discomfort. And you may have some Zechariah type discomfort. Amen. Your eyes are going, I need $50,000 right now. I'm doing everything that I know to do. I got resumes everywhere. I'm not talking literally, but you get my point. You may know somebody. Come on, you just lost your job. Come on. Does God want you to prosper? Does he want you to be in good health? 3 John 2, yes, he does. He doesn't want his kids having, come on, lack and deficiency, because that's what he rose from the dead to take care of. All of the lack, all the deficiencies, come on, all the sin. That's what he rose for. That's what he died for you and for me, to take care of those issues. So again, Joshua and Jericho, Joshua 6:10, we see this, that Joshua had commanded the people, do not give a war cry. So here they are at Jericho. God's given Joshua the plan. He's given him the vision. He's given him purpose. He's showed him his will. Moses passed. He went up with God. Here's Joshua in the lead. Come on, God spoke to him, gave him some commands. Joshua 1, don't let this book of the law depart from your eyes, from your heart, from your mouth. Meditate in, day in and day out. So they're standing at Jericho. Come on, God gave them a command. They're the march around. We've read this in the Bible. And then what do we see here? What we see is how Joshua, many doubted. Joshua did not. What happened here in Joshua 6:10? He said, do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until the day I tell you to what? Shout. And when I tell you to shout, here's what I want you to do. I want you to what? Shout. And did the wall, according to the scriptures, the walls of Jericho, did they come tumbling down? But you want to hear something awesome? I'm talking about fear not. Fear to follow God and what he's, the Holy Spirit, the word, his promise, his way. See, many of us talk ourselves out with doubt. So Joshua, you know, you say, well, that's great and all, but do y'all remember in Numbers 13 that there were 12 spies that Moses sent out? Well, who was a part of the 12 spies that was sent out? Joshua and Caleb were out of the 12. They were two that what came back with a report said, yeah, there's giants in the land. But what did they say? They said, we are well able to what? Possess the land. See, the thing here is Joshua had been a firsthand witness to the original group that failed. He witnessed this. He witnessed how doubt and fear came into the camp. And the other 10 spies, guess what? Them or their descendants, come on, never entered into the promised land. And when you read the Bible says this, that Joshua and Caleb and their descendants entered into the promised land with the children of Israel. All the others, come on, that had a negative report, they were in doubt and were like, they're too big for us. No, we can't do this. What were they doing? They were allowing doubt to take them out. Amen. See, we read in verse 21. Let's continue back with verse 21. Meanwhile, speaking of Zechariah, the people were waiting for Zechariah, wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. So what did the angel do? When you read the context here, the angel shut his lips. Until what? To the day of delivery, to the day of birth, when the child came forth. So the angel touched his lips and he couldn't speak, so he's making motions to the people. He said they realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but he was unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, Zechariah returned home. Grab this in verse 24. After his wife Elizabeth became what? pregnant, and for 5 months remained in seclusion. So was there a promise? The child. Come on, was there a plan? There is a plan. This child, come on, he's going to go and prepare the way of the Lord. Come on. And even after he baptized Jesus, was there still a plan in operation in John's life? Yes, there was. Amen. And you say, well, that's John and that's Jesus. That's great. Well, listen, you need to take initiative. That's the next point. One, many of us talk ourselves out with doubt, but the second point here is we must take initiative. We've got to take initiative. And you say, well, what are you talking about? See, Zechariah had to face Elizabeth and say, sweetheart, y'all kind of know where I'm going with this. The command has been given. We got to go somewhere, and we got to talk, and we got to have a conversation. Amen. And how many of you know that there was a baby? They had to take initiative. Come on, I'm going to give you a child, but they had to go, come on, and do what adult married couples do. Amen. And can I just say this for a second? Can I just say that's something within the context of marriage that should be enjoyed? Can I get an amen on that? It should be enjoyed. You say, what's your point? We must take initiative. See, you need to get some God confidence. God confidence. How many people saw the star in the sky? Come on. And how many came to find the king when we read in context here about the Christmas story? How many people saw the star? But how many people, come on, the shepherds that were what? In the field with their flocks. Come on, they came. They saw and they came. See, this is the thing, guys, and take an initiative. You do the believable and let God do the unbelievable. You do the credible and let God do the incredible. You do the natural, come on. There's natural things that you do. You do the natural. Let God do the supernatural. Amen. How many of you know when Zechariah and Elizabeth came together that there was a baby? Come on, they took initiative, they did their part, but God did the rest. Come on. Amen. You say, well, that's so funny. Really, it's we laugh a lot of times, and I even chuckle at some of the things that God does in the old covenant that are so supernatural. Come on, guys. And we're in a new and better covenant now, but yet we look back to an old covenant and go, whoa. When we live in a new and better covenant, come on. Jesus has came, he died, he rose from the dead, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. When you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you're born of God. The life of God is in you. Come on. And the Bible says, spiritually speaking, you're seated with Jesus in heavenly places at the right hand of the Father. And that right hand is a place, it denotes a place of authority and power. Do you get this? Amen. So, let God do the supernatural. You do the natural part. Come on, when you're looking for, let me say it like this. When you're looking for a job, what do? You put together a resume. Come on, you get online. What do? You contact people. So many of you have been in this situation, but over and over and over, you do your part, and then you watch God put his super on your natural, and he opens up a job for you, or he opens up resources for you. Come on, and you have lack, and he said, I'm God, I'm the God that's more than enough, and you're looking for a job. And then money shows up, and you ain't even got a job. Come on. And God said, I'm always going to cause you to prosper and be in health. I understand where you're at. You're doing your part. Let me put my super on your natural. Amen. So here's the thing. We're going to shift gears and look at the life of Mary and Joseph. So we see the life of Zechariah. We see the life of Elizabeth. We see where God gave them a plan. Come on. He gave them the promise, and they did their part. They took initiative. And how many know, again, let me say this again, that Zechariah's lips were unloosened. Amen. You think that he had the opportunity to doubt God again? Surely he did. But even though it may or may not be recorded in the scripture, I can guarantee he thought before he spoke the next time. Do you hear what I'm saying? Amen. And so we're going to look at Luke 1:26. We're going to move real fast. Luke 1:26, in the sixth month, we see that God sent the angel Gabriel to what? Nazareth, in the town of Galilee. To a virgin who pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her. Here it is. Here's another similar situation right here. The angel said, here's the messenger from heaven. Today we have the Holy Spirit. Yes, there can be messengers. Angels can appear. They can speak. They are messengers. Amen. And they're a minister. The Bible says angels are ministering spirits that are sent forth unto the heirs of salvation. Are you an heir of salvation? Amen. Are you a son and daughter of God? So yes, angels can speak to you, but how many of you know we have the Holy Spirit? Amen. So in this context, an angel appeared to Mary. And in verse 31, you will be with child and give birth to a son. But before that, he said to her, what? Do not be afraid. Fear not. So you will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be what? Great. And will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will what? He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will what? His kingdom will have no end. His kingdom will have no end. Amen. And so here we look here in verse 34. So here's some more questions. So are you going to have questions? There may be some things that God is showing you and revealing to you. Come on. He's changing some things. He's shifting you. He's leading you, guiding you, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, God, the Holy Ghost. And so just because you may have questions, don't allow yourself to step over into the realm of fear. Do you see what I'm saying? It's okay to ask questions. It's okay. Come on, God, I need to know some more here. I know you reveal we're going to have a baby, but okay. Oh, I need to take initiative. Here's some more instruction. Come on. Oh, okay. Well, here's a child now. Oh, and here's the plan now. Okay, he's baptizing. His name's John. He's baptizing people in water. Oh, I see it now. See, it's easy to see something when it's completed. You're like, okay, I see how all that. And here's the thing with this. Some of you, you've seen over and over God give you plan. He's given you a purpose. Come on. He's given you pursuits. He's given you things to go after. You've been here before. You've seen this place before. Some of us have lived enough life where we've been here before. We've seen this. But yet there still is that opportunity to allow fear and doubt and unbelief to come in and question, is that really God? After we've seen him in our life over and over and over. Come on, supernaturally bring provision to you in your body, in your money, in your family. Set people free. Come on, deliver people, heal people. Come on, mentally, physically, socially, emotionally, and financially. We've seen this. But do you have an adversary? Yes, his name is what? Satan. And John 10:10 says he's a thief who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. So he's not, regardless of your experience, you're like, Pastor, I got this. I don't need another illustration. The devil don't care what you know. He doesn't even care what you believe. What he gets upset about is when you start speaking what you believe. So that's why when fear comes, we got to open our mouth and say, no, uh-uh. The same way that you provided to Zechariah and Elizabeth and she was barren in the womb, you're going to provide for me. Amen. Do you hear what I'm saying? You're going to make provision for me. Amen. So take an initiative. So we see here some of the questions Mary asked is, how will this be? In verse 34, Mary asked the angel, since I am what? A virgin. She said, I'm a virgin. How will this be? And some of you, if we grab a hold of the enemy's lies, come on, and we allow this doubt, and there's times where, how do you know, when doubt sets in, you're not really wanting to take initiative to act on anything, to tell you the truth. Do you really want to act on the plan of God? Come on, you get into like, okay, fear sets in, doubt sets in. You say, and you start speaking these things like this, well, I don't qualify. I don't qualify. I've never been there, done that, and don't have the t-shirt. Come on, I don't know how to do that. Or you ever had this thought of, well, I'm just inadequate. I'm inadequate. I'm inadequate. See, God's birthing and his plan and his purpose will in our lives is what he wants us to grab a hold of. Again, his plan, his purpose, his will in our lives. He wants to help you deal with these thoughts of inadequacy. These thoughts of, I don't qualify. Come on, Mary looked at the Holy Spirit and said, how is this? Come on, the angel Gabriel speaking, come on, and looked at the angel Gabriel and said, how is this going to be? I'm a virgin. You ever had this thought? Come on, I'm not good enough. Maybe it's just, I'm not good enough. No, you got to take initiative. God is revealing things to you. Take the initiative to get intimate, to press in, to pray, to seek the counsel of God. Go on, get some spiritual people and some godly people around you that believes in you, that's full of God, full of the word of God. Come on, that are good shepherds, that shepherd the flock of God, like Paul told Timothy, according to how God wants it done. Amen. We're going to wrap here in a second. But I just really feel in my heart that unbelief and doubt is a huge issue in this generation. We have more people walking away from the Bible, from, I don't even care about church. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's like to walk away from a spiritual principle that you've walked in your whole life and you've seen the hand of God over and over and over. You've seen his super touch your natural over and over. He's given you revelation. He's healed you. But I see in this generation, We have a tearing, we have a parting in the road system. We have those that are walking away because of doubt, because of the fear, because of a fearful thoughts of how is this going to happen? And instead of pressing in and being intimate with the Father, we're stepping about and backing, you know, we're doing an about face and walking away, and we're allowing fear and care and worry, come on, to take root into our thoughts and our minds, and it gives produces thoughts, ideas, and suggestions, and the enemy jumps on that. And here's what he does. He says, hey, how are you going to do that? You're inadequate. You're not good enough. Come on. You've never done that before. Do you hear what I'm saying? And some of us experience the power of God. See, Moses was inadequate. Moses couldn't speak. David was inferior. He was too young and inexperienced. Peter was insecure, and Peter denied Christ. We read this in Luke, in wrapping today, Luke 22, 60 through 62. Peter replied, man, in context to him denying Christ, he said, I do not know what you're talking about. Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter, and Peter went outside and what? Wept bitterly. See, we must all come to the realization that God has already placed ability inside of us to accomplish that which he wants us to do. He's already given you the ability. Amen. So you would say it like this. Moses was inadequate, but Moses led the people out of what? Captivity, if you'll start playing. Moses led the people out of what? Captivity. David, who is the shepherd boy, what did David do? He became the king. Come on, the prophet showed up. He anointed after they went through all of the sons. And Jesse said, there's one left. He's out in the field. Come on. He said, call unto him. So Jesse brought his son in. And here's David, who's been practicing with slings and stones. He smells like sheep. He's just a little bit dirty. He has a smell to him. But yet that's the very, come on, head that the horn of oil was dumped on. And he became the next what? King. Peter did what? Peter preached to 3,000 people. Do you remember this on Pentecost? Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, got up and he spoke with power. Come on, his natural, God put his super on his natural. 3,000 people were saved. Amen. And I want to talk to you about starting this church. How you know? The fear that when we started this church on every corner, every angle, real fear, folks. Come on. And if you read statistics in this age group and demographic, 90% of church plants fail. There's statistics out there that speak. So when we planted 5 years ago, we're thinking, how is this going to happen? Come on. How is this? You can have those thoughts. How is this going to happen? Come on. We've never been the captain of our own ship. Come on. Rachel and I, we've always been the deckhands. You know what I mean? We've always been the deckhands. Give me a mop, give me a broom, give me kids, give me youth, give me whatever. But we've never captained. Come on, we've never been the captain of our own ship. So how many know there's an opportunity that when God said, here's my plan, it's revealed unto you, and here's the promise, here's the plan, execute it, and I'll be there to help you every step of the way. We had opportunity at that point to let fear step in, because in the natural, you're looking at statistics. and you're like, I'd just rather go start and be a part than start something. I'll go be a part of somebody and something that's already been established. And God said, that's not what I told you to do. So what did we do? Come on, we removed and eradicate the doubt. We did what God said to do. We removed the fear. We said, no, we're not going to be led by fear. We're going to be led by the plan of God. We're going to do what God said to do. See, here's the thing when we read on about Mary, and it's the challenge that you and I must face, is that not everyone will rally around your commitment to follow the plan of God for your life. Come on. Let me say it again. You say, what are you talking about? Not everyone will rally around your commitment to follow the plan of God for your life. A lot of people will, but there's a lot of folks that are just not. And we need to come to that conclusion just like Mary and Joseph did. Let's just jump down to verse 38. Here's what Mary said in verse 38. She said, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. This is after the angel had spoken, you're going to have a baby. Come on. Here's what Mary said. I'm the Lord's servant. Mary answered, may it be to me as you have what? Said. The angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready. She took initiative. Grab that part right there. At the time, Mary got ready. Right here, you see initiative. God revealed the plan. He revealed purpose, and she took initiative. She put the plan into action and the motion and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, and verse 40, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. She committed with her heart and soul to walk this plan in the face of negative repercussions. So again, not everyone will rally around your commitment to follow the plan of God. Fear not. Come on, amen. Anybody remember Gideon? Y'all remember Gideon? God said, you mighty man of valor. Gideon said, me? Me? A mighty man of valor? God said, yeah, you. Don't hide yourself. And I'm calling you out. And so in context, the Gideon in his life, we see a war that took place. And you say, well, what's your point? In Judges 7:3, this is what God commanded Gideon. You see, well, not everybody will rally around your commitment. Well, there's thousands of men we're getting ready to read about that left Gideon. And we see in Judges 7:3 that men left out of fear. They left out of, the Bible says, fear. Come on, they left out of fear and missed one of the coolest battles in history. And we know that the battle got down to about 300 men. And how many of you, God put his super on their natural and they won. They had victory. But there were so many. In Judges, we read this in Judges 7:3. God said, announce now to the people, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave the Mount Gilead. So 22,000 men left while 10,000 remained in context. 22,000 people, men who were afraid, walked away. Think about that. And I want to, again, wrap with this. Not everybody will rally around your commitment to follow the plan of God for your life. And we need to understand that we never forget that Christ lives on the inside of us. Amen. See, the point of the conception in Mary is Jesus Christ in you and me. And I want to say it like this. Imagine what it must be like to carry the Son of the living God. Imagine that. You're carrying the Son of God. Amen. But wait, there's just, how many of you know that was just the carrying of the Son of God was just a foreshadow, come on, of what's coming and what has come. Colossians 1:27, we have that up there. The New Living Translation says, and this is the secret. Christ lives in you, and this gives you assurance of what? Sharing his glory. The Message translation says, the mystery in a nutshell is just this. Christ in you, so therefore you can look forward to sharing in God's glory. It's that simple. In John 4:4, we read, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is what? In the world. The one who is in you. The one who is in you Come on, point, take your finger, maybe your pointer finger, point it at yourself. Say, greater is he who's living in me than he that is in the world. Come on, Christ is living in you, in me. God had a plan. So the question remains is, why would we fear to follow the plan of God? Why would we fear? Think about that for a second. God's revealed, Zechariah, you're going to have a son. Mary, you're going to have a son. How many know when they were pregnant, Elizabeth went to visit Mary? Go on, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And the baby leaped on the inside of her when John and Jesus came together. Come on, and she began to get bold and prophesy over the situation in Mary. And there were words spoken by the Holy Spirit through Elizabeth. Hallelujah. That's exciting to me. You know why? Because God said, ladies, you're executing the plan. Come on. Yeah, you may have questions. But don't be like Zechariah where you're continually, come on, doubting God. And he's like, let me just shut your lips and let me just perform this thing so I can just show you, come on, that I'm good. Amen. I don't want to shut my lips. I want to open my mouth and say, Father, I thank you for the plan and for your provision. It works. The plan works. Come on. I'm not going to fear intimacy. I'm not going to fear to follow your plan, your purpose. I'm not going to fear it. Come on. I'm going to follow your plan. You, anybody remember The Water Boy? The movie The Water Boy? Does anybody remember that movie? Bobby Boucher? Come on. What was the famous saying all through that movie? What was it? You can do it. All right? Bobby Boucher, you can do it if you what? Try. Amen. If you try. So don't walk, don't jog, run with the plan. Run with what God has given you. Fear not. Fear not his intimacy. Come on. Fear not when he woos you and draws you in. Come on. Fear not when he tells you, hey, not in the literal sense, you're going to have a baby. But you need to understand God's birthing something in his people. And how many of you know in that birthing, naturally speaking, there's a process. And so you're like, well, I don't have the whole plan. Fear not. He will continually, through the Holy Spirit, reveal in the Word of God, reveal to you what you need to know. Do not fear. Do not doubt. Do not be afraid. Amen. And so it's time to get ready. Amen. It's time to get ready. Closing. Maybe it's a book he wants you to write. Is there anybody in here? Maybe not. But maybe you know people who have written books. And you're a writer. Go on. God wants to birth something within you. And he's given you a plan. Fear not. Write the book. Fear not. Step out. Take initiative. Step into his provision and his plan and his purpose. Come on, while I'm inadequate, deal with that thought. Come on, God has given you everything you need for what he has told you to do. Maybe it's a job change. You're thinking about changing jobs. Fear not. What about starting a family? You're thinking about starting a family. Amen. It's time to get ready. What about a new business idea? You've been contemplating that new business idea. God has given you a business idea. Fear not. Let him birth. Come on. Let him overshadow you. Let him birth that within you. Come on. Let that plan come forth. How many of John was a blessing to many people? And how many of you know Jesus was a greater blessing? Come on. He still is today to you and to me. Amen. What about faith to let go of a habit or addiction? Fear not. There's nobody in this room that hasn't overcome any kind of situation or addiction or something in life. Fear not. Amen. Fear not. God is with you. Amen. How about this? How about, you know, you say, well, I want to be a better steward of my finances. And, you know, it's time to get ready. I'm going to take Financial Peace University. Come on. I'm going to get into some Dave Ramsey courses. I'm going to be a better steward of my resources. Come on. Fear not. Maybe God's birthing that in you. How about serving on the worship team or making the difficult phone call? How about this one? See, that's why I like preaching these messages right here in this season and in this time, because the things that we're touching on, intimacy with God and others, fearing to follow God's plan, these are the things right now at the end of the year, in Thanksgiving and in this Christmas season. Come on, it's time to get ready and start preparing for the new year, and the new year needs to be better than the last year. Amen. It's time to take initiative. It's time to step in, to be intimate and follow God's plan. Amen. What about faith to let go of a habit or addiction? Making that difficult phone call to a loved one that, you know, you've got years, they may have years of brokenness in them. Years of brokenness in them. And God has birthed it within you to go to those persons and to do what? To talk to them, to encourage them, to strengthen them. Come on, me? Why I'm inadequate? No, deal with the inadequacy, because God has given you the ability. You're not inadequate. He's given you purpose. He's given you the plan. He's given you provision. He's given you strength. He's given you peace. Jesus has given us every tool that we need. We need to get in and take initiative and get into the toolbox. Open, we hit the first drawer. When you open a toolbox, you see what's on top. And sometimes I have kids that are just like this right here. I'm gonna close with this statement. You have kids that are just like, Dad, I can't find a tape measure. Well, there's five trays in the toolbox, folks. Did you look just in the first one? Yeah, I did that. Did you look in the second, third, and fourth, and fifth? No, I didn't do that. How many of you know there's other trays in that toolbox? And there's other different types of tools that we can tap into. If we'll just take initiative, come on, remove the doubt. Fear not, trust God, that what he's birthing in you, come on, he'll fulfill it. He'll give you all the tools. He'll give you all the provision, and he'll show you how to do it. Come on, be intimate. Don't walk away, walk into. Amen, stand with me today. Hallelujah. What is he calling you to do? What is he calling you to do? I want to wrap with that. What is he calling you to do? Hey, bring it up, Ian. What is he calling you to do? So I want to pray this, a general prayer. And I'm asking God right now. You say, well, I don't have a plan. I don't have a purpose. I don't have a pursuit. I really don't know what God's plan is. I don't know what he wants me to do. But I want to. I want to have a plan. I want to know his purpose. Amen. I want to know. Some of you are already on track right now. You're already on track. Keep going with God, with what God has told you to do. Keep being faithful. Keep being faithful. Some of you stepped away from a plan. You stepped away from what God told you to do. Step back in. Come on, don't allow condemnation and guilt and shame and worry and fear and anxiety. Come on, don't allow people to shame you. Don't allow what people, listen, there are people, and I kind of have this in my spirit, and I'm just gonna say this, because I feel it emphatically, that there are people in this room right now that the fear of man, you more in tune and care with what a man thinks than what God thinks. You need to tip the scales and elevate what God thinks and what God says about you than what man thinks about you. Some of us live in a very small community and everybody knows everybody, but it does not matter. We're to love those who persecute us, love those who don't treat us well. Come on, we love them with the love of God. What happens when we love those? Come on, you heap coals of fire, burning coals upon their head. Conviction will come upon their heart and they'll have two choices. They'll either yield and repent or they'll continue on in their ways. But they have a free will just like we do. So what is your goal? Don't allow the fear of man to derail, come on, what God has birthed within you. It's time for delivery. It is time for delivery. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's time to give birth to the plan. It's time to build the business. It's time to write the book. It's time to let people go. It's time to encourage. Come on, what are we waiting on? Amen. So in closing today, Father, I just thank you right now. In Jesus' name, the name that is above every name. Come on, folks, press in. I thank you, God, today that you're revealing your plan and your purpose to these people right now.